Mervyn Hanley will inspire. Mervyn Hanley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure. Touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice through your tragedy. Television, online and overseas. Tune in to Mervyn Hanley.
It is Thursday, 29th April. Good evening and welcome to another edition of The Blue Table with Mervyn Hanley. Tonight, I'll be joined by Rohan Isles, co-host of The Blue Table. Tonight, we'll speak on a number of matters especially relating to St. Kitts and Nevis and one specific matter relating an incident on the island of Jamaica. So we'll take a break and we'll be right back with more from The Blue Table with Mervyn Hanley and Rohan Isles tonight.
Everyone struggles at times. Even we too have our own struggles. Do you have a loan at the Development Bank of St. Kitts and Nevis and have fallen behind on your payments because of financial difficulties? Have your financial situation changed? If your answer is yes, visit the Development Bank of St. Kitts and Nevis or call 465-2288 extension 1101 or 469-5416 to make an appointment to discuss our debt evaluation and restructuring plan with one of our qualified officers. We are committed to working with you to make a sustained positive difference in your life.
Mervyn Hanley will inspire. Mervyn Hanley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure. Touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice through your tragedy. Television, online and overseas. Tune in to Mervyn Hanley.
We're back. And again, I want to thank those of you who would have downloaded the app, the podcast app, The Blue Table with Mervyn Hanley. And you have also subscribed. So I want to thank you for subscribing to this application, to this podcast. We're here Monday to Thursday. Friday, it's our break, and back again on Monday. However, Monday, for those of you who are not in the Caribbean, let me just inform you that I believe Monday is some sort of holiday. I think it's Labor Day. With Labor, I think. Labor, Rohan?
Yes, Labor.
Monday is Labor Day. So we will not be here on Monday, but we'll be back on Tuesday, right? But let's get right to our programming. Rohan, good night. Welcome to The Blue Table.
Good night. Good to be back.
Great. Now, let's get right to it, Rohan. Let's listen to this audio from the police on St. Kitts. Well, St. Kitts and Nevis. And one of the reasons they're having challenges and difficulties with the curfews and stuff like that, because some folks just decide to do whatever they want. So here he is putting it all, well, some of it into context so we have a better understanding why some people will make other lives difficult. Let's listen to this.
Pleasant good afternoon, all, and thank you, Mr. Williams. Now, this afternoon, I did not prepare a speech as such, but I thought that as we approach the upcoming Labor holiday weekend, that I speak a bit on vaccine and highlight, sorry, not vaccine, on events, and highlight some of my experiences over the last weekend with respect to events. Now, on average, we see in the Federation 100 approved events per week. Most of these events are on the weekend generally, and we see a spike whenever there is a holiday weekend. And from observation in other countries, we see that whenever there is a spike in the virus, in the corona in these countries, it's usually after a celebration, a major event where large crowds gathers. And then shortly after that event, you have a spike, a surge in the number of cases. And we have a tendency here in the Federation to have crowded events on weekends, on holiday weekends in particular, without regard for protocols. And so we have a responsibility as law enforcement, as members of the task force, to remind persons of their responsibility so that they avoid these type of behavior. Now I just want to highlight three of my experiences in observing the events in the Federation in St. Kitts over last weekend. My first experience was with an event that was approved for Old Road. In Old Road, a daycare center had a barbecue, and they had permission to have hi-fi music with a DJ. Lo and behold, when we visited the event, there was a live band present in full operation. The permit for that event expressly restricted or prohibited live bands. Additionally, there were a five-year-old at the entrance doing temperature checks for the patrons, a five-year-old and a 10-year-old taking the names of persons attending. Of course, everybody just passed them straight and played with them and tapped them on the head, and nothing was done that was supposed to be done. A total disregard for the protocols and the conditions that were set in that permit. The police stopped the band and end the event, and the parents were not very happy. They were disrespectful to the police, as if it was the police who did something wrong and not them. So we want to bring these type of behavior to the attention of persons that it is not acceptable. Persons must take responsibility when they do things that are wrong and action is taken against them. There are consequences. My second experience was with a dance recital that got approval for 150 persons. When the event was visited, there were over 300 persons at that event. The organizers were spoken to, and criminal action is still being contemplated in that. The jury is still out on that one. We are seriously considering criminal action with respect to that particular event. And my final experience was with a live band that was in full operation at the food court at Rams Camps. This band had no permission, absolutely no permission. They were hired by a bar at the establishment, and the owner thought that he had a right to have entertainment at his establishment, whether or not he had permission. Of course, the band was stopped, his operation was closed down, and he was given a severe warning.
How idiotic, how stupid of some. How, I need adjectives here, Rohan. A five-year-old manning a gate, taking temperature checks, and then you have a 10-year-old taking names, which, you know, everybody pass over, and as you, they just tap them on the head, like, and they're passing like adults. I mean, what are these people thinking? Then you hear about a man who's literally arguing with the officers that he should be opened and have live music even though he wasn't given permission. Then you have one situation where one recital, 150 people, then there are, 300 people or something like that. What is really going on? And especially with that five-year-old at the gate. What is that all about?
Yeah, I mean, I that really caused me to shake my head because the folly of it isn't even funny at all. I mean, a five-year-old, I mean, while we can appreciate that there are some very brilliant five-year-olds in and around the country of St. Kitts and Nevis, to be taking temperature checks at 5 years is irresponsible of the people who were charged with hosting this barbecue. I mean, the five-year-old should have been somewhere in a bounce castle, if that is the case, enjoying the barbecue, not to be given the
Isn't the five-year-old a kindergartner?
Yeah, a preschooler at best. To be doing temperature checks. I think we need to understand temperature checks.
What,
a five-year-old what, with a temperature
checks. This is Dolly House or something?
Yeah. And a ten-year-old recording names, and even before he said how the patrons reacted to the two youngsters, right away I saw it. because you're not adults. You know, they show up and a 5-year-old doing temperature checks and a 10-year-old taking names, and you know, and it looks so, it's funny. You know, as you would say, it looks so cute. Look at these two people here, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
Taking temperature checks. You know, and then you could go flip side of this. And maybe it is the responsibility and the understanding of the 5-year-old and the 10-year-old that, hey, nobody taking temperature checks. Nobody taking names. Maybe we should do it. You know, they say, if no child shall lead them. And so it is 10 times more sad for me on the part of the adults who are responsible for having this event as opposed to you know, the 5-year-old and the 10-year-old, because this has got to be some crazy.
No, and we get down on the SKN task force, and we do, especially with this 9-day-old quarantine or whatever that is. But do we... You can also understand why they have to take certain measures as they do. I mean...
Yeah, if these things are going to happen, then yeah, you're going to expect tougher SRNOs coming your way. I mean, that was one incident. You had another incident about... a dance recital and a businessman who determined by his own admission that he should have live music because he wants live music. He's a business and his business is open. He has a fundamental right to that. I mean, I listened to all of that, but there was something that stuck out for me.
Uh-huh.
And that was the way in which the two were dealt with. I think he said there was serious contemplation of criminal charges against the people of the dance recital.
Yeah, but none against the businessman.
None against the businessman. The businessman was given a firm or stern warning.
Mm-hmm.
We must be careful on that. And I think that is part of what was shared on last night's show, is that the fairness of how we operate as a task force. And people are looking on. People are seeing what is happening. And of course, we know in everything, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are going to, not saying that it's right, because whether we like what is happening or not, the laws of the land remain as such, the laws of the land, and mm-hmm. we must all adhere and respect the laws. But I'm hopeful we're not seeing a repeat of a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old being responsible for temperature checks and taking names and those kind of things. It's just really, really, really crazy. But, you know, Irving, those are small numbers. Because I'm almost certain that across the Navy, we have activities every weekend without permission from the task force. Because one of the prevailing thoughts in St. Kitts and Nevis is that there is no COVID here. There's mm-hmm. no cluster. There's no community spread. And so if we are so protected from the novel coronavirus, then we can enjoy a little freedom during the end. And
yes,
for sure, we see that on the island of Nevis every weekend.
But that is another thing, Rohan. That's what I don't understand. We're saying that we want these things in place. We're trying to be stiff, and we have the rules and regulations. But when you look around St. Kitts and Nevis, you see all... A matter of fact, he did... In that same message to the people, he did indicate over 100 applications were approved for events. So when you have all of these events, what do we expect? I'm not saying that the events should not be had, don't get me. But at the same time, here you are. You are the one given the authorization for these, the approvals for these. But in on the next hand, you're saying, oh, no, we don't want that. You guys need to adhere to the rules and regulations, but that's just come now like a recitation that every week you're gonna come and you're gonna have the same old recitation, but then you go back and you sit behind your desk and you use your ink and you sign off on all of these events. So I mean, make it make sense.
You know, I think it is an act to try to balance and granting some economic leeway to the country, trying to break... Well, not to have people in that mundane spirit of not having entertainment and a little life, so to speak. I guess it's a part and parcel of getting to a new norm. But as you rightfully said, if that is going to be the case, then whatever SRNO that is put out must be followed, must be executed to get the results that they are seeking. I mean, that is how we are going to make that shift to where they want us to be.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's the case where you have one weekend 50 non-authorized parties, maybe next weekend you say, well, since that is the case, none at all. As I said, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. But as you're saying, maybe you're not seeing that opposite reaction. You're just seeing, we had 150 applications, 100 were approved, but over the weekend we had 200 parties happening.
But then you go back on Monday.
And you issue another 150.
And you issue, make it again. Make it make sense.
And then you have another 200 parties on the weekend. that is exactly what it is. I think, though, you know, people, and in having a conversation with a constituent recently, people have become so comfortable. In as much as we argue and we don't like some of the policies and some of the SRNOs that are put out by the task force,
mm-hmm.
we have become so comfortable with the safety that has been provided by such measures. That people say, listen, I mean, we can do these things because there is no COVID, there is no cluster, there is no community spread.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't have any of these things within the environment, then, you know, people are calling the question, why all of these strict measures and so on? So we enjoy the benefits of these strict measures, but on the other hand, we are saying, well, we have the protection, so why these strict measures? Mm-hmm. I mean, humans for you, eh?
Yes. Definitely, indeed. Now, in Jamaica, Mr. Right, who is actually Mr. Wrong, a member of parliament under Prime Minister Holness on that side, government side, George Right, he'll be on leave, well, for 2 months. And, well, they did not say the reasons for that. But if you have been following and if folks have been following this story on Jamaica, where a member of parliament alleged on a video, it's shown on cameras. I actually looked at it this morning. That's about the fifth, sixth time I've received the image, even though it is not too clear. But you can see where this person, this individual, was assaulting a woman, and it has caused much uproar in Jamaica. And the Speaker of the House, she would have read that or announced that the gentleman will be on leave for personal reasons. But paid leave for 2 months. Whatever I don't know if he's on a paid vacation somewhere. I'm not sure if it's at sitting down on some psychological on some couch of somebody. But he is away for two months, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I must say, you know, this thing against violence against women, and what we have to understand and recognize, but people tend to shove it under the carpet, to put it under the carpet, that a lot of these vicious acts, unacceptable acts, are happening by the people who are dressed in jacket and ties. But we don't hear about it. We are quick to talk about the young man on the street, the vagabond on the street. We are quick to talk about somebody who ain't even, you know, quote unquote, in society. But it's these people in high society who are committing these acts, these violence against women. I mean, I get stories all the time. And I get, I don't even want to go there because then I might slip up and say something. But it's not a matter of slipping up and saying something, because I've encouraged these women. Some of them will contact me and I'll be like, you need to report this. You need to report this. You need to speak out against this. And these men, these officials, top officials, right? And who want to come across as if they are the savior to their people and the nation. And if they see a woman talking to a man or read some message in a phone, they gone and beat up the girl. It's happening around us, Rohan.
Unfortunately, that is the case, isn't it? I condone no form of violence in any shape, way, or form, whether it is against men, women, or children. And so it is truly reprehensible that we are seeing that from a member of parliament. I will say, and Well, I'll have an add-on here again. I said it before. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And it'd be good to find out the entirety of what happened in that regard. But, I mean, we have got to...
But I understand what you're saying. But does it matter what happened, though, in terms of even if he found out that his woman or the lady was cheating on him?
No, I'm not even thinking in that vein.
Okay.
Sometimes you find yourself in situations where people antagonize you and people push you.
Yes. Yes.
You know, normal times it is the person who reacts last get caught in the fire in firing line.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying it would be good to know. I'm not talking about those things, because those things are things you have, when those things come your way, you have got to learn to deal with those in a civil manner. I mean. Mm-hmm. There would be absolutely no justification or reason to be violent physically or otherwise towards somebody for a message or seeing somebody talk to somebody. That is craziness.
Well, it's a lot of craziness happening around us then.
Yeah, that's true. That's what I'm saying. It happens. It happens. And what we call that? White collar crime?
Okay.
I mean, and it's I know we're talking about domestic violence, but we can shift a little bit. It goes beyond that. I mean, so much happens in the realm, in the world we live by, as you say, people nicely dressed in suit and ties and are part of elective politics and serve people. But what we have seen is, because of the office they hold and because of the title they carry, we don't even sweep things under the rug, we go over the floor.
Hmm.
And we put them in there. As if these people deserve the ultimate protection, and they're above human standing and stature, and they're more than anybody else. And so we can't call their actions into question, and we can't bruise their ego or sully their mm-hmm. image. I mean, we are not doing that. They would have done that to themselves. We're simply bringing it to the public, and we're bringing it to light so people can see the nature of the people they're dealing with. And so it's not just that. It happens all the time. You take an example of somebody working, somebody like that in a position like that, and they take $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
What happens?
Hmm.
Nothing, right?
Nothing.
Because somebody's going to pay it back, but let me take $500 and see if you ring me left, right, and center, small quote, big quote. I mean, these are the kind of things that are happening in our society, and people are looking on, and people are saying, you see, that is why politicians get bad seat, you know, it's not just because they promise things they can't deliver.
Mm-hmm.
But people are looking at how they operate, not in just of themselves, but how they protect people who are close to them as well. Because I'm sure we know stories of people who support political parties who would have done things. And as I say, we don't just sweep them under the rug, we open the floor. We put them in the door and we cover them. It's truly unfortunate. I know in the Jamaican instance, there was questions in Parliament as to why he was absent and is he still getting paid. And I don't know much about the rules and orders of Jamaican Parliament, but I think the Speaker was saying that those are rights and privileges that is attended to him. And so,
yes,
you know, I guess that is. Part and parcel of the same thing we're talking about these things being pushed aside or not dealt with head on because they have certain privileges that are attached to.
And protected.
Yeah.
Hmm. Tell you what, let us take a break. We'll hear from Carl and Sons on St. Martin. Good night to all the folks listening to the podcast on St. Martin. Special good night to, I have an aunt in St. Martin, Joycelyn Henley. She listens to the Blue Table religiously, every word, every letter, everything about Rohan, everything about Nevis, Tsinkit, St. Martin, Anguilla, BVI. She can tell you everything now, thanks to the Blue Table. So St. Martin, good night to you. Let's take a break. We'll hear from Carl and Sons on St. Martin and affluent homes on Nevis. We'll be right back.
I'm very hungry.
Whoa, was that your stomach? You need to get on down to Carl & Sons Unique Bakery, your number one spot for sandwiches, pastries, cakes, and more for breakfast and lunch. Are you in a rush? Call in your order at 543-1059 for town and 544-2462 for Cold Bay. Follow their Facebook page to see their daily lunch specials. Carl & Sons, the right choice since 1982.
It's been a while that you're thinking or dreaming of your new home. Let Affluent Homes turn that dream into reality. Leave it to us to deliver. A team of architects and designers have created award-winning designs. We will work with you to develop the distinctive look you envision. For real estate development, property sales and management, you must think of Affluent Homes Limited. Check out our website at www.affluenthomesnevis.com or email us merchant@merchantlc.com or call us today at 1-869-665-2121. Affluent Homes Limited.
Mervyn Hanley will inspire. Mervyn Hanley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure. Touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice through your tragedy. Television, online and overseas. Tune in to Mervyn Hanley.
Rohan, we're back. And finally, we'll talk about yesterday, the Premier of Nevis, the Honorable Mark Brantley. He would have made an announcement regarding folks who seek to have a work permit or residency, or the renewal of a work permit or residency. And to quote him, he said, "What we have now decided, and effective May 1st, is that anyone seeking a work permit or residency or seeking to renew a work permit or their residency will have to present evidence that they have been vaccinated." And I would think that means fully vaccinated in order to get these approvals. Your thoughts on the Premier's announcement?
Let me pick up from where you left off. I really don't think at this point in time he can mean fully vaccinated, because they started vaccination in what, February, March?
Mm-hmm.
So 10 weeks, a 10 weeks window in between there doesn't take us down until what? May, June, May? So probably end of May. I think for the most part he might be referencing a first shot.
But the first shot doesn't cover you though.
But you see, that is what now we are breaking down the statement, because if it means fully vaccinated, then that is not going to be right now.
Okay.
It has to be until after the second shot, if you understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm, if you started in February, March, and again, it depends on when the person had the very first shot. So if you're saying a person can't get a work permit or residency until their second shot.
Okay, he said vaccinated. So let's go by, I am just assuming vaccinated means the full coverage, right?
Okay. So here, let us walk slowly on understanding this now.
Mm-hmm.
A person has taken their first shot in March.
Mm-hmm.
On March 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Non-national took their first shot on March 15th. 10 weeks after, if we understand correctly, is when they are scheduled to get their second shot. At 9 weeks, that'll be 10 weeks. So you do the math. 10 weeks is how long, my friend? 2 months and 2 weeks.
Yes.
Are we right?
Yes.
So March, April, May, that's 2 months, 2 weeks in June.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm saying it takes you down to 2 weeks. That's the second shot, right?
Yes.
By international guidelines, you are only fully covered until 2 weeks have passed after your second shot, which puts us now to the end of June.
End of when?
June.
Mm-hmm.
So, he says effective
May 1st.
May 1st. So if you don't get your second shot until May or June, and you have to wait 2 weeks after for you to be considered fully vaccinated, then what is supposed to happen in between there?
Mm.
And you need your work permit renewed. What is supposed to happen between there?
Well,
just pick up in when you think about that. When are residencies and work permits dealt with? What time of the year?
Are those the beginning of the year? I don't know. You tell me. Do you know?
Right.
Yes. Okay.
That's what I understand. Mm-hmm. So we are now January, February, March, April, heading into May. So why now? And what happened to those people who would have already gotten their work permits and their residencies approved without being vaccinated?
So unless even though he says May 1st, then unless he's talking about going back to waiting till next year, January, which by then wouldn't make...
I'm just trying to understand the finer details of the policy, because of course he would have just given us the overarching particles of the policy, but the finer details, I didn't get those, because if I already have my residency and my work permit issued to me, having done so,
but I don't think they can be revoked because you don't have a work permit. You're not vaccinated. That will be then a matter for the court. I believe that would then be a matter for the court. So I do not believe he's talking about those individuals. But then if you're talking about anybody else, you'll have to wait until, if for those individuals, they'll have to wait until January, no?
Yes, and that goes down now to the effectiveness of the policy. If we have, Mervin, 1,000 non-nationals in the labor force, and 600 of them between January and now would have already gone and gotten their work permits and residencies done without being vaccinated, then what as you just said, that issue becomes one for the court if that is going to be the case, and then you can't take people to the court because you want them to get vaccinated. I don't think that is the route we want to take. So it would be interesting to know the finer particles and details of the policy, and if we have how many non-nationals would have already been issued work permits and residencies. So those are the finer particles. We can move on to the human aspect of that. Is this a precursor to, if you want a job from government or if you want to maintain your job as government, you have to be vaccinated? Because I'm trying to understand, why is it we started with non-national? What is the logic? What is the reasoning? Are we saying, well, they're non-nationals, and if they want to enjoy the prosperity and the safety of, and all the goodness of Nevis, that they'll have to do what we ask them to? Or else, is that our human position? Is that how we treat our brothers and sisters from across the region? Is that how we'd want to be treated? I think there's a golden rule that says treat people like you'd want to be treated, or something like that. So I'm trying to understand here why that position, why we are starting with them, and is this a setup for another policy to come to say, well, we have dealt with internationals now. As residents, it's your turn. If you want to keep your job with government, you have to be vaccinated. Or if you want a job with government, you have to be vaccinated. I think this is the same government that issued so many sweet deals to non-nationals prior to the elections of 2020. I think there was reductions on alien land holding license and all other things, 50% and so on. And now, in a sharp twist, the hammer has been dropped. In the heads of non-nationals.
It was a hammer?
Yeah, well, there's an old famous line here, it's a hammer time.
I don't mean to laugh, it is a serious matter, but that was funny.
That's what I say, hammer drop. What was the vision, what was the foresight? Did anybody foresee that this was going to be an issue, people pushing back on taking the vaccine? And it really doesn't matter if you're non-national, it really doesn't matter, you're a human being, still with a fundamental human right, the right to choose. And that has always been my policy. I am not against vaccination. Of course, you've heard us here say time and time again the importance of vaccination. We pride ourselves on trying to provide as much accurate information as we can to the public so they can make decisions to determine their own fate and their own future. But I am concerned that this is the first step in a process that is going to start with non-nationals and going to continue with nationals, and people are going to be forced to make a choice between vaccination and economic prosperity. And when you look at it,
is it just? I'm here listening to you, and I'm thinking about this. Is it just lip service, and the premier just made that statement because in a way to get these people vaccinated because the numbers are not the best on Nevis. Yes, he has been. I give him credit for trying his very best in getting folks, encouraging rather, folks to vaccinate and all of that. So could it just be, well, he's taking a risk, yes, and whatever, but some kind of lip service. Do you really believe that they're going to deport people who are not vaccinated or revoke work permits and all that kind of stuff? I do not see that happening. So I am, while I would like to hear more from the opposition on this and their thoughts, I am not even like, okay, it's like to me, whatever, because I can't see anything major happening out of this.
Yeah, but then why? Why though?
Why what?
If this is sheer lip service, mm-hmm. then why? What is the purpose? What? And I ask, what is the purpose? Because if we can take a little political twist to this, over the years, the non-national community has supported him and his administration favorably.
So Rohan, do you think with an election constitutionally due March of 2023, even though I suspect it will be called next year, do you think something that was said on April 28th or 29th at a Premier's press conference about work permits, do you think this will matter a year from now, that you can go to a non-national and say to them, oh, you remember when your Premier wanted you to get vaccinated? Do you think that will matter, Rohan?
Well, you'll be surprised at what can matter and who it matters to. It is not something for the Premier to do or to worry about if it matters in terms of a political backlash. That mm-hmm. is something for the opposition to take control of. Because if you can seek to put my ability to sustain myself through a job and through accessing prosperity from the economy, because of wanting a higher vaccinated population, then what won't you do it for?
But isn't it the leaders?
You've shown that you're willing to not give me a work permit because I don't want to be vaccinated.
But the leader, okay, I understand you. But the leader and the government, do they have a responsibility to make sure that his island or the country reaches herd immunity?
Of course, that is fundamentally his responsibility. But mm-hmm. Marvin, what I am saying is, these are the same individuals that over the years people have known and party has touted as being good supporters of the party and the government. What I'm saying is, why can't you use that same good favor, that same good relationship, mm-hmm. and convince these people, our brothers and sisters who have called me this home for so many years, to go and get the vaccine?
Well, they're not listening.
Why do we need to?
They're not listening.
Saying, well, if you're not vaccinated, you don't get this and you don't get that.
They're not listening. So who knows? Maybe civil servants will be next. I don't know, but I'm just saying they're not listening.
But exactly the point I'm trying to get at. They're not listening. This is the response for that. You know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Divisions aren't listening either. When I say divisions, I mean local divisions. Mm-hmm. So what is going to be the equal and opposite reaction for them who serve within the confines of the government? Is that that is the question we need to ask? Are they next? Want a job with government? Take the job. Want to stay on the schedule to government? Take the job.
Hmm.
That's it. That's how we operate.
Well, they should also go after those. Well, they're not only civil servants. If they want that, then they go after all those people who are draining, milking the treasury, milking the trough right now with contracts. They should probably take the job as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay? Their political friends who are on contract make big money every month, $15,000, $20,000 a month, you name it. They should be taking the job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I can understand the difficulties Caribbean leaders are facing. In one end, they understand that social safety nets, they understand that social programs, they understand that the efficacy and the functionality of government depends on an economic prosperity, a sustained one. And they understand that the Caribbean region for the last few decades has been dependent on tourism. And for some countries, exports of foods and vegetables. They understand that. The regular person may not really pay much attention to that. They only look, you're looking more or less at the benefits mm-hmm. of a growing economy, of a stable economy, of a sustained economic prosperity. And they, as the government, must find a way to balance the safety of the country, the safety of the people of the country, and that economic prosperity that they desire. And find ways, creative ways of getting people to understand, listen, all that you seek and all that you desire from the country in which you live is dependent on certain things. And one of those things right now is taking the vaccine, getting to herd immunity. That is what is pressing at the moment.
Right.
I mean, hopefully things change down the line and that may not be the case, but right now that is the case. And some people are saying, listen, I am willing to wait out this thing as long as I possibly can before having to take the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things we have heard is that this word collateral damage. Some people may end up having severe side effects. Some people may end up dying. And the law of human nature is that that happens. That is the case. And some people make the argument, you know, that will happen. But the reality is, my brother, the reality is that none of us want to be that statistic.
Right.
None of us want to be the collateral damage. That is fundamentally what plays on the mind of a lot of people. So, it's up to government. That is part of the responsibility. That is part of raising their hand and say, yes, I want to be a part of the leadership of this country. Yes, I want to be the premier. Yes, I want to be a minister of government.
And I hope you do understand that responsibility, Sir Iles.
Well, you know, I think earlier on in our conversation, you asked me a question about how would I operate if it was a vaccine versus a vote, and at the end of the day, it has to be what is in the best interest of the people. And we have got to find ways to get people to the point where we are comfortable knowing that we honestly gave our best shot.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, went through the processes and we sought out every possible solution that we could find to get people to a comfortable place to say, okay, well, you know what? I believe I can take this vaccine. And if it means then as ministers and as senior government officials, you meet people one-on-one, have a conversation, understand what their frustrations are, understand their history. Because some people may very well have a case where somebody for them took an injection and passed away. Somebody for them had an interaction with medical services and didn't make it. They themselves may have a chronic fear of injections. They themselves may have a fear of what could happen to them if they take the vaccine, especially if they are young, strong, energetic, and vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to tell you, listen, I am not sick. There's nothing wrong with me. Why should I take the vaccine?
Maybe they should go. Maybe the ministers need to go house to house and as one of their tools. Okay. If you do house to house to get a vote, to get you in office, to make you sit in the chair and collect big monies, then you can go house to house. If you really want to use reach herd immunity, go house to house as a group, as you do when elections are called. Go house to house and beg these people to get vaccinated.
Talk to people, understand what they're saying.
Find the time. You find the time for all other things and find the time to go to these people.
Yeah. But, you know, as I said, there's a fundamental fear with some people. You know, somebody said, I'm not sick, I don't need the vaccine. And then I asked, well, why do you put on your seatbelt when you get in your car? The person said, well, I never know what could happen. And I say, my friend, if there is nothing untoward about your health in reaction to the medication, then this is the same thing. You never know when you may get into an accident. And that accident may very well be the contraction of the novel coronavirus. And a lot of people are living in the present and not looking to the future to understand that, yes, you have an ultimate protection right now. But what happens when government can no longer grant you that 100% security?
And as we wrap up, so what advice or what do you say to Premier Mark Brantley at this time, Rohan, with this work permit renewals and the you know, just even to grant get an approval for one?
For work permits?
Well, work permit and the residency. What do you close by saying to the premier or asking him?
Well, I just believe that, you know, as I said, as humans, we still have the fundamental right to choose, but people must be given real choices. And to say that if you don't get vaccinated, you can't get a work permit or you can't get a residency goes beyond the realm of getting an injection, because it speaks to more about survival. If I don't have a work permit, then I can't work. And so the effect is greater that way. I can't work, I can't support my family, I can't pay my bills, and so you're sending people really back in terms of the economic position. Because, well, you know, whether we believe it or not, a lot of people have real convictions when it comes to this vaccine. And my thing is, and I say to the premier and his colleagues, understand what people's frustrations are. And you may be very well surprised that you can convince them without the hard-handed hammer approach. Because I believe if they have supported you in the past, they'll support you again. I take it that this is not a case where I want the government to fail. Not in this instance, because if he fails, we all fail.
Mm-hmm.
This is bigger than him, it is bigger than me, it is bigger than and all of us. It is an understanding that collectively we are going to succeed. That is how we succeed collectively. But I don't believe in the hammer approach. I mean, if the hammer approach is being leveled against the nationals, then you may be double the hammer against us. Get to know people. I think your position, if we can campaign door to door for an election vote, we can meet people in small groups, one-on-one, door-to-door, convince them that this campaign is just as vital. Go get vaccinated once you can. Help us to get to where we need to get, and then we can enjoy the economic prosperity we need together whenever that is
well
coming up for us. You know, that is going to be a way out. That is another discussion for another time, but
well,
a human approach for us.
Maybe it's hammer time. Rohan Iles, I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight at the Blue Table, and we will do this again on Tuesday, because Monday is a holiday and I will take my holiday. So Monday is a holiday in the Caribbean, so we'll do that on most Caribbean islands. So we'll meet up again on Tuesday with another edition of the Blue Table. Thank you so much, Rohan Iles.
Thank you, man. Have a good one and have a good holiday.
Yes, thank you. You same to you. Ladies and gentlemen, Rohan Iles of Nevis. He just had a mouthful there as far as the response to the premier. It's a holiday weekend in most of the Caribbean islands. I want to wish you a very safe and enjoyable weekend. I'll be back on Tuesday with another edition of The Blue Table with Mervyn Henley. Good night.
Mervyn Henley will inspire. Mervyn Henley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure. Touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice through your tragedy. Television, online and overseas. Tune in to Mervyn Henley.